and still preach for us and give us the word today. And so it's good to see Julie here. Julie's working hard and getting ready maybe in September to go back. So anyway, back to Syria, Iraq. So anyway, God's doing some great things. Things are happening. Yeah, and Cheyenne just got back from Africa. Amen. So we'll get a chance to hear her share a little bit too. So anyway, God's doing some great things. Things are happening around the world, making a difference. So anyway, this morning I'm just going to have Henry come and share. Henry, I just want to say this. You know what? I just love your family. You guys are just awesome. You're just awesome people. They love God. They demonstrate it. They live it. They do things for the Lord all over the world. And God is doing some great things. And it's exciting what God can do through us if we will just be obedient to the be vessels that God has called us to be. But I just appreciate Henry, and I just thank God for him. And, man, I've known Henry, first met him when I first moved here years ago. And just in the last years, it's been good just to fellowship with him at the Bible study and different things like that. But Henry is a man of God, and he does what God tells him to do, whether it's going to South America, wherever it's going, Guatemala, you name it, Colombia, it doesn't matter. He's used as God's vessel for his glory. So let's welcome Henry and Julie for being here this morning. God bless you guys. Love you, Henry.
Well, hello. Thanks for the compliment, Audie. I learned that I'm more obedient than I thought I was. No, anyway, but it is really good. Good to, you know, sometimes you don't want to, and then you know you should, and you just go ahead and do it, and then afterwards you're glad you did it. Because you know if you don't do it, then you kind of suffer for it. Yeah, so anyway, good morning to everybody. I just am happy to be here again. As was mentioned, we were expecting Staniel Capri's assistant pastor, which I've known for 20-some years, to be here. But Staniel, in the last minute yesterday, I think it was yesterday, the day before, whenever it was, he was going to be here June 1st through June 6th. And on June 1st, he notified me that he had to cancel. So I had gave Audie kind of short notice that he's not coming, and some of the other churches that he was going to be at. But, you know, some of the things we can't change, but I always have to remember Haiti is not like the U.S. Their communication is not as easy as our communication. If they want to communicate via Messenger or Facebook, they have to go somewhere or whatever, connect. It's pretty expensive down there. So communication is not the greatest. Anyway, but I'm glad, you know, to have the privilege of being here again, and also to have our daughter Julie here. Before I go on, I'd like to just open up with Luke 16, verse 10 and 11. And I'm going to read it in two different versions, NIV and the New King James Version. I usually use the New King James Version, but I want to read NIV on here. It says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?" It just says, and also then it says, if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? So that's one of my verses that have been sticking with me for about a year. Sometimes I have like a pet verse. I mean, I have a lot of pet verses, but you get the certain verse that you kind of hang in, then you kind of change and switch to another verse. But this, I just keep, this verse keeps coming back to me to keep reminding me I have to be trustworthy in whatever I've got. And because I want to be trustworthy in the true riches also, in the kingdom of God. And so, and then in the King James Version, it says, "Who is faithful in the least is also faithful in much." It uses faithful instead of trusted, but it's the same meaning. So this morning, I was hoping, you know, we could bring our Haitian pastor here. And I know we've been supporting the ministry down there. And Staniel sent a video, or they sent a video of Staniel in the hospital room, and he was getting a blood transfusion. He's got a lot of sores, open sores on his legs. I know he's diabetic. And they were speaking in French for about 4 minutes, or Creole, and I don't understand that. It was all French to me, or Greek to me, or whatever. But he wrote a little note that he's not coming on the bottom, and so that's what he got to go by. And I remember back in Haiti, I've been going by, I think it was 96 when I first went. Sindo's dad was 104, or he's over 100 years old. He died at 104, and I think he was 102 at the time. And, he'd still walk 10 miles a day to visit people at that time. So he had a long life, and he kept on going. And Stendhal's kind of following his dad's footsteps. He goes where the people don't. I've been down there. We go to places where there's a lot of... What I like about Stendhal's ministry down there is he goes places where, for lack of a better word, normal missionaries don't go. he'll go back, and he'll walk 40 miles. You know, we get Americans down there from other countries. There's a lot of ministries down there, but they won't walk 40 miles, you know. They'll get, you know, and we've, I remember he took us back in the sticks in northeast Haiti, and was, I think it was 120 miles or whatever it was. Forget what it was, around 100 miles. It took us about 15 hours to get there. We had like three flats on the way. We were driving off the road more than on the road because off the road was better than the beach. And on the road, and so that's the way we traveled. So, that's the kind of places that he goes. He goes to the, where the scripture says, to the byways, the hedges, and stuff like that. That was his ministry, getting to where other people don't get to. So I really appreciate it, Stendhal, for what he does. And he started lots of churches. Anyway, and then we got Julie here. I'm excited for what she's committed to doing, and I want to come have her up here a little bit too. Just want to mention that tonight. Also, you probably know we'll have another gospel singer, annual gospel singer at our house there, which it's not our house anymore. It's my son's house now, but I still have squatter's rights, so we call it our house. So you all come over here tonight at 6 p.m. at our house, and we'll have some good music. But anyway, we got Julianne here, and she's going to be going for more training out west, and I want to tell you about that and going back to Iraq. But I just enjoyed going with her this winter to Jordan and, what was the island we went to? Cyprus, yeah. And, you know, the people that we meet in the east, we hear a lot of horror stories, and there are a lot of horror stories. You know, but there's a lot of horror stories in downtown Detroit, too, you know. But the people you meet, and people are still people everywhere you go. And, you know, we had this Muslim person that kind of took us through Jordan there. We wanted to see some of the ruins and stuff like that. And he took us from the airport out there. He had a job at the airport and took us out. And he was so interested in our religion that he forgot forgot being a guide. But I think it was a God thing. He put us together, you know, and we started talking. And he knew all about Christianity, but he found out he didn't know much about Christianity. You know, he knew all the things that Muslims know about Christianity. And, you know, by the time we get done, he says, you know, I'd really like to come to America. And he knows some people that moved to Dearborn, and he found out in Michigan. And he says, you know, if I come, could I visit your house? You know, I really like to see more about what you people do. You're different than the other Christians are. So I think a lot what we do and where we go and is just our presence will make a difference where we go to. And people are looking for something more in the Middle East. They're looking more for more than what they had. And there's a lot of people turning to Christ because their religion doesn't do it. And they're looking for something else, just like we all are looking for something else. And I'm just happy that if God called Julian over there, that he can do that, you know, through her. We might think, well, that's a dangerous place, you know, get over Iraq and FAI, where you're working, goes into Syria a lot. But, you know, for me, as people say, well, don't you worry about her? And, you know, I don't worry. I'm concerned that God takes care of her. We pray for her. Well, I may pray for her more. But anyway, you know, we're not safe even at home. You know, a year and a half ago, we lost a son a quarter mile from a house. We're not, you know, we can die right next to our house. You know, we can be killed just before we get home today. You know, that happened on the way home from church. So we can't say, well, we can't go because it's not safe to go if God calls us to go. Because if God calls us, he'll cover us. And if he doesn't, if he lets us go and die, we'll just be with him. I mean, if we look at it that way, I mean, it's a win-win situation either way, because we're working for the Lord. Anyway, why don't you come up here, Julie, and just kind of share a little bit of what you got going, and then I'll continue from there. You need the whole book?
So I am up here this weekend from Ohio. I guess last time I was here, I had given a little update on what's going to, or how the summer might look for me. Originally, I was planning to go back to Iraq probably in June sometime. I was going to go out west for some EMT training in May. Well, I decided to wait to do that until this August so that I have more time to work and save up for my trip, and also just more time to do some fundraising and stuff. So a little update on what's going on right now. I'm living in Ohio, working full-time down there. And at the end of July, I'll be heading out to Washington State for a four-week EMT course. And then when I graduate from there, I'll be qualified to take my exam and get my license for that. And then after that, hopefully in September, I'll be headed back to Iraq for who knows how long. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Kind of in the meantime, I'm doing some fundraising up here this weekend, Mom and Dad's Gospel Barn. I'm going to be talking a little bit about the ministry I'm going with, doing that tonight, and just, yeah, kind of getting the word out there and just building up relationships stateside as well for the long term over there. And, yeah, really excited to be doing this. And it's kind of a bittersweet thing to, you know that once you're, if you have something like this in mind, you really, what's something that's really important is to have a support group at home, or people that you know will be there with you in prayer, or even financially, or, you know, and it's just, because once you get over there, you will have some people who share the same passion as you, share the same faith, but it's not the same, you know. It's not like you have your whole family, your whole friends there with you. So that's something I've been learning this summer, is how important it is to have those relationships stateside. So I'm really thankful for all of you. Love coming here every once in a while and just kind of reconnecting. And this morning, it was great. The word that was shared was, like, spot on. Spot on for me personally. So it always has been encouraging coming and just worshiping God with y'all. Just really want to thank you for your support and your prayers and just the way you like to keep in touch with where I'm headed. Really means a lot. So, yeah, if anybody wants to, you can come on over tonight to Dad and Mom's. And if you want to stay updated via email or anything, just let me know. And I send out updates once in a while just to keep people in the loop with where I'm at this point. So. That's about it.
Well, thank you, Julie. You know, there's never a lack for a place to work, but you know what I always remind myself and others is it's like back where Jesus told his disciples, is begin at Jerusalem, where you're at, and go on out. And the most important part, I mean, the most important part is to go where God wants you, but we have to remember at home is going to be our first ministry, our mission field, right around the neighborhood where we're at, in and out our door. And I think your neighbors seeing you go back and forth in and out the door will tell you more about your life than you realize. And they'll see that. And if it's a life that's something that they lack, they want to learn more. And as I just mentioned, I think last week, or whatever, this past week with the Bible study, you know, I remember so much our next door neighbor kids, you know, they, when they moved in, the neighborhood was kind of like, oh my goodness, you know, these guys are coming. And these, they had some wild boys. They had like, I mean, they're pretty rough. I mean, when they took off, or next right across the fence from us, you know, they could never take off on Shepherdsville Road easy manner. It always was laying rubber when they took off and stuff like that, you know. And you know, when Dad and Mom weren't home, whatever they had, including the motorhome, went around sailing around the field. We thought they'd tip them over and stuff like that, you know. But you know, the thing was, is we still were neighbors, and we use them as neighbors, and even though the neighbors always told us when they leave, we have to watch their property, and you know, as time went on, one of these boys kept coming over and needed to talk to me. He had stuff in his mind. And you know, and then there was this called the jail minister, what is it called? Forgotten Man Ministry. And he ended up speaking at one night. He was in the jail for a while, and he said what turned his life around, I didn't know it, he didn't tell me that, was the people across the fence. You know, because he said he just saw them. He saw there's something there that they didn't have that he wanted. And that's what started his pursuit of what Jesus is about. And, you know, he'd come over and talk at the, well, you know, we're builders there. And he seems like, you know, God, please let him pick some other day. But the busiest day he'd come over, I think God just was testing me, you know. And we were just swamped. And he'd come over and I just got to talk, you know. And I, you know, if it was my children, I'd say, well, okay, let's talk tonight. But I knew if I don't take the chance there, I lose it, you know. And it wouldn't just be 15 minutes. It ended up being a couple hours so many times. But, you know, but all that's worth it. Sometimes it's worth it just taking off what you're doing, just taking time. And God restores that. That comes back again. You know, you think you lose time, but you really don't, because God will restore that again, the time you spend for his kingdom. Anyway, the passage I gave was just about being faithful in little stuff, if you're faithful in little things. And I want to open up with another passage out of Matthew 25. I just want to read that and maybe expound on that a little bit. And so Audie, Pastor Audie didn't tell me what time to quit, so I guess we can call it 3 o'clock, or what is it? No. Anyway, I'll start in Matthew 25, verse 14. And I'll read on down to 30, and I'll expound on that a little bit. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his own ability. Immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. This is from the New King James Version, by the way. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also, and he had received 1, went and dug in the ground, and hid his Lord's money. So after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he had received 5 talents, came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter the joy of your Lord. He also had received the 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money by the bankers, and in my coming I would have received it back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given. He will have abundance. For from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast on profitable servant all the darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, I was this morning I was thinking about that, just the verse I had about being trusted with very little or faithful with very little. You know, this whole thing, we can fit ourselves in that passage. Each one of us can fit ourselves in that passage somewhere. And it says the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country. We know that Jesus left and he gave orders to his disciples. And we're all talented differently, but we all have 1 talent, at least. You know, he gave us something. We might have 10, we might have 5, but you know the thing is, do we deal with what God has given us? That's what the important part here is. You know, the one that had 5 talents traded them, and he made another 5 talents. He dealt with the 5 talents and he received 5 talents more. Same with 2, he received 2 talents more. And he got the same reward. God, the Lord, his Lord, his master said, I will make you rule over many things, the same as he did with the 5. What he says to us, if we're faithful in little, like Luke 16 says, he was faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And then he goes on, he was unjust in little, and what is least is also unjust in much. Then we go back to the one that has 1 talent. The one that has 1 talent, you know, he didn't even take it to the bank. I heard Audie say something about, you can take that to the bank. Well, he never took that to the bank. You know, he just went and hit it. Because his master, he looked at his master, where we look at God so many times, he's just a hard master. He just wants to suck it out of me. You know, I'm not doing it. And so he just went and hit it. He's not going to use it with it because he's got a hard master. And you know, there was one point in my life where I thought God was just hard on me. You know, that's the way God is. He's there with a stick just trying to get what he can out of us, while he's got the advantage to take advantage of us. And that's the idea that person had with the one talent. I don't have much. He hasn't given me much, and I'm not going to do it. He's just unjust. And so God says, so if I was this unjust person that you thought I was, the Lord said, at least you could have put the money in the bank. I could have received it with interest. At least you could have done something. And but with that attitude that he had, he didn't do anything with it. And, you know, I have a feeling, it doesn't say in here, but if he would have dealt with that one talent and he would have received another talent, he would have probably got proclaimed the same thing, I'll make you ruler over many things. Because he was faithful, because he would have been faithful a little. So the thing is, what I want to bring out is, we don't have an excuse for what God gives us. And God decides, gives us the talents, what he wants to give us, or the ability to do what we want, and he wants us to deal with that faithfully. And if we do that, we will get rewarded the same way. God gives us more to work with. And, you know, I guess over the years, you know, if I look back, just because Audie said what he did, you know, we committed some of our time just for the Lord's service, because God had blessed us so much in the business. We felt that God wanted us to do something else. Not that we believed we had to win his favor, but God blessed us so much that we said, you know, my wife Ida talks, says, you know, there's got to be something we can do for the kingdom. That's more than what we're doing. And that's what God started opening up other ministries, other countries, and so forth. And so that's, we were blessed with that. That doesn't say that everybody has to do it, but I believe that's what God had for me. And that's what each one of you, each one of us has to ask is, well, God, what do you want me to do at the moment? What can I do to further your kingdom? I can do more than just work 8 hours a day, come back, watch TV, and go to bed, and get up to work, and come back and go to bed, and then maybe go to church on Sunday and go back to bed. And, you know, there's more to do in life than that. That's boring, you know. And as I talked to this one guy, the first part of the week, he says, you know, he's talked about a life of just doing the same thing. He says, you know, you might as well go out the tree and all the woods, and if a tree falls, you go get to heaven. That'd be more fun than doing the same thing over and over again for all your life. Well, that was his version. But, you know, the thing is, we can get so stuck in a rut that we don't want to do anything else. And we're not open to ask God, what more do you have for us to do? So I just want to put that challenge out there. And, you know, and also this morning, I just want to go on from there and see about being faithful in the little. Pastor Otto was saying, well, sometimes somebody seems to be robbed stuff from us. That's true. You know, they rob, he was talking about finances or pleasure. But, you know, the top thing for me is the peace that God gives me. How many times do we get robbed of peace? And it might be just something coming. Really analyze it. There's nothing that you need to be robbed of. And you just feel that presence of the oppression of somebody or something trying to rob the peace that you have in your heart. And you can just say, get out of here. I'm the Lord's. I'm working for him. Because the thing is, you know, we have this power in the principality power. We have the enemy that's trying to kill, steal, destroy, like Pastor Otto was bringing out. And they want to rob us of that peace that we can have of doing that. And that peace is more, the peace of joy is more than just making a living. You know, he adds to that, because here it says, if we deal with the talents of God, he'll add more talents. And I think God does that today. But I want to go to 1 Kings 17, because there's instance there that I think about when I came up with some of the verses. So how are we faithful in little things? In 1 Kings 17, verse 10, it talks about Elijah, that he went to Zarephath. He was running away from, the priests of Baal were killed. He went to the brook. The ravens fed him. He kept on anyway. He ended up all the way over here to Zarephath. And in verse 10 it says, so he, Elijah, rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. Now here comes this prophet, here comes this guy along, and I tell you, how many times does he see me picks on the poorest people? When God wants something done, he picks on people that have the least amount, because sometimes I think maybe they have the least to give up. You know, he knows that, you know, like the widow that Jesus was watching, the people put money in the treasury, And this widow comes along behind, just drops her one penny that she's got, and she kind of walks away. And Jesus says, you put in more than all the rest. You put in everything she had. All the rest just did what? They just kind of got the cream off the crop. They dropped it in, you know. And you know, the horns were tooting when those guys put it in, man. You know, hey, look what they did. You know, they were gaining money, but they were actually, in actuality, they were just giving of some of the profits they had. So God's looking for you today, not because of the money you've got. He wants to use your finances, but he wants you because he wants you. See, that God's looking for not for things, he wants people, he wants us as human beings, his creation, to live in us to do his job. That's what he looks for. And he doesn't need any of our stuff. He might use that, but he doesn't need it. He wants you. He just wants you, and that's what God's looking for. He's using this widow. So the widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and says, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. You know, if I want to put myself in that widow's shoes, and maybe, you know, some of you can do that. You know, you're poor and you're picking up sticks to gather wood, and you got nothing. And then this prophet comes along and he's asking for a cup of water. And, well, I can do that, I guess. You know, he's a prophet. That's good. I can go get a little water for him. But then he asks the insane thing right after. As she was going to get it, he called out and said, hey, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. She didn't have it. She might be able to get water, but she couldn't get that bread. You know, and God sometimes tests us. He wants us there against. He wants obedience because he wants to bless us. He wants all of us. Well, she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. Only a handful of flour, a handful. That's all she had, in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. See, I'm gathering sticks, a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself, my son. So what? So that may we eat and what? And die. She figured it was her last supper. You know, it was her last meal. That was her expectation. And here this guy comes, and he wants to take what little she's got. And she was expecting to just starve to death from there on. That's all she had. See, sometimes we get to such a hopeless state. You know, we see people today, I know maybe some of you seem to be in such a hopeless state, there's nothing left. There's absolutely totally nothing, no outlook in life. We're done. We're done for. There's no tomorrow. And I think that's the way she felt. She says, it's her last day, it's her last meal, I'm done. And then I'm out of here. And you know, and how many of us come to that point? And, you know, and sometimes God lets us get there because he can use us then. And he was wanting to use his widow. Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as I have said, but make me a small cake from it first. First, you give me some. Bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. First you do it for me, and then you look for yourself. And that's another good example. When we work for our master, for the kingdom, do we do that first? Or do we say, well, you know, I really don't have time to go to services this weekend and do nothing because my kids have ball games. I just can't do it. You know, I'm just throwing that out. How many times do we do our stuff and miss God thing, you know, or whatever? I'm not saying that that's one of the choices to make, but sometimes we do that kind of thing. We say, well, you know, this is really important. I guess I'm going to miss that because I got to do this because we're looking. But she didn't do her thing first. She did his first, what he asked. Do we do God's first? And God provided a way. So it says, afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord of God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. He says, if you do that, God's going to bless you. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. So that's a lesson that I took when I stepped out in faith and we started going with a family, not with just with one kid or two kids or three kids. We went with eight kids. We're a total of 10 of us that went internationally to do missions work. And that resulted, one goes to Iraq now. But you know, the thing is, God provides a way. You hear people say, oh my goodness, how can you do it with a kid? You can't do it if you have any kids or one or two kids. We did it with eight. And God provided a way. We were down there, we worked among the people, and I think God used us as a family to help those people. Not because we're something, just because we were people. We were friends to them, and they saw an outlook in life. And, you know, by just being there, this is just an example, not that we're anything, but just like a neighbor said, you know, you used to come down with your groups. We used to take youth groups and build buildings and stuff like that, help churches or whatever, do kind of things, which is all good. I've got nothing against it. He says, but, you know, you'd come down. I'd sometimes go down beforehand, get things ready. Sometimes stay afterwards and kind of cleans up. But he says, you know, you came down, you guys preached to us, and we thought it's all good. It all works in America. But they go back home to where it works. It doesn't work here. That was their idea. Once we were down there for several months, maybe up to, I think the longest was 5 months, you know, we're there one time, you know, so this young family came over. He says, you know, UN comes in, and they were helping at that time because they had the war just previously, and says, they are telling us we need to kill the babies and save the trees. And you're coming, and you show what you're preaching actually works here. You know, sometimes we need somebody to show things too. It's good to tell, but you need somebody to show things. Sometimes you need turf boots on the ground stuff for people to see. You can always tell them about it, but sometimes it's good to be an example. And that's why I think, like, for Julianne or what FAI is doing, they're an example to those people. They don't just tell people, they show them. And they're in it for the long haul. So here's something that God, I want to leave with you. God wants to bless you. But sometimes he asks of all you've got, for everything you've got. And you say, there's no way out. And then he turns around and says, I'll just bless the socks off your feet. Well, let me look at another one there. About Elijah, when about following him, Elijah went on, and later on, and Elisha came along. What time did you stop at 12 or what? Okay, I forgot. I don't want to go till 3. Anyway, 1 Kings 19 it says Elijah departed from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was the 12th. Now that's, I always picture that 12 yoke of oxen going down a field, you know, one behind the other. You know, talk about big farmers. I mean, if you're a farmer, you know, that's a 12-bottom plow. That was way back when, you know. It's kind of interesting. But Elijah was the 12th one. They end up with 11 bottoms because what happened with his? Let's read on. He says, Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on Elisha. As he went by, he threw his mantle on him. So Elijah got something. He got a word. He got an anointing. He got something from the Holy Spirit that he knew something had to happen. See, sometimes God touches us the way we know we got something thrown on us, a mantle or whatever anointing. We know we got to do something. And we can't rest until it's done. Sometimes we don't know exactly what it is, but we got this anointing and we know it's got to be dealt with somehow to be used. So he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and says, please let me kiss my father and mother and then I will follow you. That's what he said. Elijah never said a word to him. He just kept on going. And so he ran and said, hey, I want to go kiss my mom and dad goodbye. I'll come and follow you. And then Elijah said to him, well, go back. Again, what have I done to you? He just, like, passed it off. But see, the thing is, I think God had to deal with Elisha personally, not just Elijah telling him. So Elijah turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, and boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, gave it to people to eat. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Do you see the example of what he did there? How many of us dare do that? We slaughter our only livelihood we've got. We follow God. He took his yoke of oxen, well, a yoke of oxen, whatever, I assume it's his or whatever. He slaughtered the oxen. He took his plow, which was a wooden plow, that he used to boil the flesh with and give it to the people. He says, here, my livelihood is for the Lord. I'm done. Do we give it all to God? That was the question of God. Or do we give partly to God? See, I got to keep telling myself, do we give everything to God or just give extra to God? Or what part do we give to God? What part do we give to God? What part of ourselves do we give to him and what part do we keep for ourselves? Elijah just got rid of it. And he followed Elijah. And he became his servant. And Elisha ended up doing many great things, just like Elijah did, because he had that anointing on him. And he went out and he obeyed. He was obedient to God's call. So anyway, that's what then Elisha, this is about Elisha, 2 Kings 4, it says, a certain woman, the wives of the sons of the prophets, cried out to Elijah, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditors coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. What I bring out today is the point that are we going to be faithful in little? Are we going to be faithful in what God called us? That's what I want to bring across. That's why I'm bringing these passages out. How are we faithful? Are we willing to do what God calls us to do? There's different examples of different things that God called us to do, but what is he calling us to do? That's what I want to leave today. What is he calling us to do? You and I and me, each one individually. We have different talents, different things. See, I sure hope not everybody's going to do what I'm going to do. We need people all over, not just certain places, you know. And so what is God calling each individually of you? Anyway, there's another one, that how God takes care of people when we give our life to them. Here's this widow. He lost her husband, feared the Lord, verse 1 says, and the creditor was coming to take the two sons as slaves. See, nowadays, you know, we fall bankrupt. Say, well, it doesn't work that time. We'll just take your kids, man. We'll take care of you. Okay, you can't pay. Your husband died. You owe me. Give me your two sons. I'll take them, and we'll call it even. We'll just swap, and we'll go on with life. And she knew that's going to happen, unless something happens. And God kicked in. Anyways, Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? Well, what do you have? Well, you know, the other time when Elijah went, this widow had just a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil, and a couple sticks, was going to make a little bread, and she was done. So here Elisha, his sidekick, comes along, his successor, and he asks her, well, what do you have in your house? She didn't have a whole lot. She says, well, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. That's it. I mean, he doesn't even begin to pay a debt. I heard Pastor Otis say something about robbing finances. We seem to be robbed of finances. See, some of them seems that way. It seems to be, but you know, the thing is, I've never heard of anybody that was robbed of finances, so to speak, that he gave to the kingdom that he didn't get repaid. You know, I've never heard of a story that way. But anyway, here he says, go borrow vessels from everywhere. He didn't say, well, go borrow a few vessels. He says, just go buy them everywhere. Just go and get all the jars you can, man. Get all the buckets. I mean, go with your neighbor and just gather the buckets what you got and bring them over here. Well, she would have probably said, what kind of a nut are you? But no, she obeyed. You know, she just obeyed. And sometimes, we have to look at God as that way. I mean, that's nuts, man. You know, he's asked me that kind of thing. That's totally people think it's absurd. They think I'm crazy. But she was obedient. She did it. And she brought all these buckets to the house. That means she just kept bringing them in. And so what would happen? See, she was obedient the first step. And then the next step says, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, do not gather just a few. I mean, they went. They just gather buckets, man. When you have come in, you just shut the door behind your sons and pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Just start pouring, and if they're full, set them aside. She went from him and shut the door behind her, and sons who brought the vessel to her, she poured it out. She kept pouring, and it came to pass, verse 6, when the vessel were full, said to her son, well, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, we're out. There's another vessel. So they all stopped. God fills us to our max. He might not fill us the more what we need, but he fills us what we need. So what she had what she needed for what? Not only for the debt. Verse 7, she came and told the man of God, and he, Elijah, says, go sell the oil and pay your debt. But that's not it. Listen to what else it says. And you and your sons live on the rest. Wow. It wasn't just enough for the debt, but it was enough for, so to speak, retirement for a while. In other words, they had all from that money to live and make a go for it and have a new start. See, the thing is, if we're obedient, God does provide. He says he provides for the sparrow, and he knows everyone that falls. He provides for the birds. He provides for the look of the flowers. Jesus was telling that example. And he says, look at how he cares for those kind of things. And you are his creation. He cares so much for you, so much more for you. So don't worry about food, what you're going to eat, and what you're going to drink, and what you wear. He says the world out there, they look after those things. I tell you so many times, it's not the world out there, it's not the world in here. I start being concerned about some stuff. He says, don't be concerned about that. Tomorrow's got enough trouble of his own. Just do today. Don't worry about tomorrow. God's going to provide. Because why? Because he provides for the rest of it. He provides if we give everything to him. He doesn't promise to provide if we only give 5% to him. But if we give it all, he'll provide for us because it's his promise. God doesn't back off on his promises. He just doesn't. We may say he backed off. That's because we cheated. We said we decided in our own head we gave everything. We really didn't. You know, we just kind of gave a surplus or something. It makes me think of one saying is, you're free to choose. You're free to choose how you look at it and everything, but you're not free from the consequence of your choice. So we can make, so sometimes we make things out of God what we really don't want. And the more humans do, I just have to bring it up because it got to me. I just saw it on Facebook of all places. And instead of calling my bathroom the John, okay, I just had to think of this. I call the bathroom the gym. So that way it sounds better when I say to that I go to the gym the first thing every morning. Okay. All right, so what I'm saying is we can sometimes try to, you know, try to squeeze our blessings in some of, it's funny, no, but see, to me it's like how often do we try to make things appear as they aren't? I mean, appear as though they were and they really aren't, you know, in life. Like we're doing okay, we're giving everything, but we really weren't. I mean, each one has to talk to ourselves. We can cheat, we can fool everybody around us, but we're not really fooling God and ourselves. We still have to deal with it. So sometimes it's just good to be real. Anyway, I think it's about time to wrap up and let Audie finish this up. I just want to just bring up one more thing because we talked about Elijah, just a couple of verses, and then I'll close. It was told about Jesus. He was about ready to be crucified. They were traveling from the Samaritan area over toward Jerusalem, which he had his face set for Jerusalem and go there. And they stopped in the Samaritan village, and his disciples went in to get something for the group there, and they came back out, and because it says they didn't receive him because he had his face set to go to Jerusalem. Samaritan Jews, they don't get along with each other, and so you come to our village and you want some of the food, no way, because you guys are going, you're dealing with those people, we don't want nothing to do with you. And so the reaction there is what sometimes my gut feeling is right in the bottom, and I had to check myself just like the disciples. What did they say? Because this is a new era, this is a new time. They said, they asked Jesus, when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, they talked to Jesus, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? They knew that, you know, that those prophets were killed. I mean, these people here at the Samaritan, I mean, they deserve, man, just let's zap them up, man. You know, that's our first thought. But how did Jesus respond? Because this is the new era we're living in, we're now. And that's why we go to Iraq. That's why we go to the middle of the communist part all these places, the Muslim area, whatever, and even the Jews in Jerusalem. If you talk to these people, it's amazing how little they want to know of Jesus Christ. He's coming, but the current one, and you got all these eras. And sometimes you think, well, the way those guys handled ISIS and all those places, even though there's some of the ISIS leaders, became believers. You know, it's like just zap them, Lord, just kill them, man, just wipe them out. But Jesus has this thought inside of him, which should all be in our heart, is what he said. He said, he rebuked them and said, you do not know the man of spirit you are of. So, whoa. You know, why do we think that way? Right? And he says, the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. They just got it somewhere else. So I think sometimes we have to leave room for God to judge, and we don't use that judgment ourselves. Let God take care of that. Because our goal here is to save men's lives, to bring them to Jesus Christ. And yes, the world's out there, and they have to deal with it. God uses the world. He uses the principle. He uses the government and so forth, and the kings, and he puts in kings the way he wants, and everything like that. We pray for them. But what I'm saying is our passion is to save instead of destroy. So that's what that's the new thing that he wants us to do. And then one last verse. I'll turn it back to Audie. A couple of verses. He says, talk about people going on the road. They continued on down that chapter. That was in Luke 9. I'm not quoting a lot of verses here, but people were saying they want to follow him. One said, I'll follow you wherever you go. Another said, well, and then he, 59, one person said, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus said, well, look at the fox. They've got holes, birds have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he told another person, you follow me. First one guy says, I want to follow you. And then Jesus says, I got nowhere to, I don't even have as much as a pillow to lay my head on, you know. And then he says to another person, you follow me. And then the person says, well, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Remember Elijah, he wanted to bury his father? This again is, we're talking something more, how do you say, God, something I think has a more of a demand on us or command to follow him now than he had at that one time. Because he told him, let the dead bury their own dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. And he just says, do it now. You know. And so we don't zap people like Elijah did. And we don't go bury or kiss our father and mother goodbye like Elijah did. But if Jesus says go, we go. That's what he says. Because the very next verse it says, here's another, another said to him, well, Lord, I'll follow you. But let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Again, Elijah type of thing. What did Jesus say? Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. He's got strong orders for us today, friends. You know, he got strong orders for us today. We don't look back. We go. You know, the thing is, I remember being guilty of looking back. I remember so many times I was out in the field, you know, and I know if I could be back in Michigan, there'd probably be a blizzard. I'd be sitting, you know, propped up, having feet propped up, you know, eating popcorn, looking at a movie. Why in the world am I down in this godforsaken place? You know, think those kind of things, you know. All my friends are up there just taking it easy, you know. And I'm down here, you know, suffering this heat and stuff. Why in the world am I doing what I'm doing? I must be crazy. But then I had to remember, you're not fit for the king. If you turn back, keep your hand on the plow. And, you know, that's he's got a call for you guys. You know what? It's not, I think we got all kinds of calls in here. God's got talents in here. But whatever God, little thing, the one talent, be faithful with that. If you got one talent, be faithful. Don't just bury it. Be faithful that God's going to reward you and give you more. God bless you all, and I'll turn it over to Pastor Audie. You can close the way you want.
Amen. Henry, thank you so much. I couldn't have said it any better. That's awesome. Because this is what we've been, you know what? God is getting people, and I know, Lois, you said it many times, God is getting people in their places. It's time to get in your places so God can use you as a vessel of honor and glory to him. But we get so busy in life, we forget about what is important in life. And God's not against you being busy and working and, you know, taking care of your family. But I think sometimes we miss the whole key that God is able to, just like Elijah, able to take care of you if you'll step out in faith and trust him. Lord, what do you want me to do? What's my gifts? What's my talents? What have you called me to do? What do you want me to do? And these are things that we need to ask the Lord. Every one of us in this place have gifts and talents that others don't have. I may not be able to do everything somebody else can do, but I'll tell you what, I know what I can do for the kingdom. That's just like anything. Don't give me a nail and a hammer to build a wall. I'll have Rick do that because it won't be straight. But if you give me mud in a trowel and do something like that, or paint and vinyl wall covering or something like that, I can do that. But there's just gifts and talents that we can use for the kingdom. Now look at it on the spiritual side. What has God given me? But we can use the same gifts to build churches in other countries, to build this and build that. And many of you have gone to Mexico and gone to places to build something or use your hands to do something. These are talents that God uses, but not only physical talents, but he uses those gifts of you sharing the love of Jesus Christ with other people. And that's what it's all about. This is exactly what it's about. We're going to take up a love offering, and we're going to use this love offering. Julie, we want to use this to help you get your start again and get you back out. I'm glad you came. I already had this planned out. So, and also to bless Henry. And thank you, Henry, so much for coming and doing that. It was nice just for me to just sit and just, I like that. Thank you. And so we're going to worship the Lord, and we're just going to give towards sending Julie back out and being a part of that. See, I believe with all my heart that every penny that we sow into that, we're reaching Muslims for Christ. We're reaching people for Christ, not just Muslims, but people from every nationality. We get to be a part of that. That means one day when we all get to heaven, you get to receive the reward, like the gifts and talents, get paid the same for doing the work of the Lord. And a part of that is giving to the kingdom. So let's pray this morning. And let's just thank God that we have the privilege to help others find Christ. Father, this morning, we just praise you and we honor you. And we just thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Now, Lord, we lift up Julie to you and we thank you that every need is met. Lord, people will pour into this ministry. She doesn't have to worry about anything, but Lord, you've got to take care of her. Because you've already called her, you've already prepared the way, and you've already got it taken care of. So, Father, this morning, as we, as your people, sow into this, we get to reap the benefits of seeing lives changed through the gospel. Thank you, Father. We just worship you, and we give to your kingdom, and we worship you with our giving. And we thank you for this honor and this privilege. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.